Hi, I'm Janie Reisner, and welcome. The War on Women by Patriarchal Men. There it is in bold print, so it must be true. Actually, the war on women began about 5,000 years ago. It's nice to finally see it in print after these many years of denial. Before I introduce my guest, Leslene de la Madre, Shimama, healer, radical feminist, and author of Midwifing Death, Returning to the Arms of the Ancient Mother, I'd like to do some recounting of current events regarding the war. Millions of women are being tortured, abused, mutilated, raped, imprisoned, and killed as we speak, simply because they are women. Military women are more likely to be raped by a fellow soldier than killed by enemy fire. Public figures like Rush Limbaugh calls a law student a slut. Rick Perry and his Republican legislators are turning down all federal money for women's health, decimating the Texas Medicaid Women's Health Program. They would rather see women die from cervical cancer than accept funds, some of which would benefit Planned Parenthood. Representative Daryl Issus from California, Republican, says that women's voices are not appropriate to debate over birth control. According to a Wisconsin bill, single mothers are a child abuse threat. What an abomination! Shame on them! Such a statement could only happen in a strong patriarchal world. It is outrageous, but sadly, anti-women's health attacks like these are not restricted to the United States. The same people behind the attacks on Planned Parenthood and the women that they serve are attempting to eliminate health care funding and reproductive health care for women and mothers in countries all over the world. Hatred toward women is now out in the open. Some men obviously believe they have a right to control women and believe women have no rights to privacy. Some yokel in the Georgia legislature is proposing a bill that could turn women in that state who have a miscarriage into a felon. The bill now sitting before the Kansas state legislature requires doctors to pass along the roundly debunked fiction about a link between abortion and breast cancer. These issues aren't meant to be a distraction. They are planned attacks happening across multiple states in America. We need our own revolution. 1 year ago, women marching on International Women's Day were sexually and physically assaulted by some of the same men they had stood side by side with during the overthrow of Mubarak. Meanwhile, with women and girls bearing the brunt of the financial crisis across the world, the biggest discussions of women's role in the Occupy movement have focused on how to protect them from rapes that have occurred in the protest camps. This week, though, we've seen the first inklings of a woman's fight back that is a little less delicate and demure. What would a radical woman's fight back look like? It might look a little bit like hundreds of women and men linking arms on the steps of the Capitol building in the U.S. state of Virginia, where lawmakers are attempting to force women seeking abortions to submit to transvaginal ultrasounds being penetrated with a medical rod before they can have the procedure. Lema Bowie, recent Nobel Peace Prize winner from Liberia, says, "It's time for women to stop being politely angry. I watch men talking about your reproductive issue, something they know nothing about. And I say, why aren't women not angry?" A woman friend writes, "What is happening in this country right now about birth control, mandated sonograms prior to abortions is shocking. Where are we? We're going backward. I hope for a coalition of women to stand up to this trend." And from Leslene, "It's very confusing about what century we are in. It's 2012, and men are still trying to tell women what to do and what not to do with our bodies. I would like to ask for a worldwide prayer for men to realize that birth control is not their issue. What is their issue is their jealousy, fear of women's creative power, age old, at least 5,000 years. When men get a grip on their fear, peace will naturally and organically surface. We need to start creating women's councils around the world to create the world we wish to live in. It most certainly will not include fear-mongering men who try to stand on the backs of women every chance they get. End of quote. I composed a song 25 years ago about the sacred war, the one we are observing right now, the war between women and men, the war God the Father has been waging against the Great Mother, and the attributes of the mother against mothering, against nurturing and caring for and protecting life, against nature and the earth herself. This is the war we have been waiting for. In my song, the crystal drum sounds, the sacred war begins.
The crystal drum sounds, the crystal drum sounds, the sacred war begins, the sacred war begins, the crystal drum sounds, the sacred war begins.
Is a ritualist, death midwife, teacher of the feminist shamanic healing arts, and founder of Winged Women Return in Sebastopol, California, a center for shamanic healing. She has been a TV host for Wildfire Television for Women and facilitates retreats, workshops for women on the sacred she. She is also a contributor to Rain and Thunder, a magazine which aims to sustain and further radical feminist movement building and activism. Welcome, Lesleen.
Thank you, Janie, for having me. It's great to be here with you.
It's wonderful to have you.
Thank you.
Once again. All right, I'm going to ask you the question that I always ask my guests, since this is Women's Voices. How did your mother influence you to become the powerful woman that you are today?
I always love this question. You know, I think to begin with, by giving birth to me, the first thing, because without that, her going through that, I wouldn't be here. And then I think just living with someone who really had a sense of what wasn't right in the world, about imbalances, and just she had a sense that of knowing that if all people weren't treated well, nobody would really prosper. And she, I believe she really passed that on to me, and I do feel that her own mother had a sense of what wasn't right in the world, but it made her ill, and she didn't know how to deal with it. But she told my mother, when my mother was a teenager, that it was a man's world. And I think that for my grandmother Blanche to have had that vision and enough to where she could have told her own daughter at that time, planted something in my mother that she then passed on to me about wanting to create equality in the world for all. So.
Wonderful. Amazing.
Yeah.
I was suddenly reminded of my own mother. And I don't know what the situation was or what we were talking about getting a man's opinion about something. And I think it had to do with clothing or what someone was wearing. And I remember her saying, "What do men know?"
That's a good question that's relevant today
in my mind. It is, isn't it?
Because they've been running things and demonstrated that they don't know very much.
Well, we certainly see the results of that. It's very horrifying.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, you, I know in some of your writing, at least on Facebook, you called yourself a radical feminist.
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean? To be a radical feminist.
Radical, the word means going to the root of the word radical, rad, means root. So for me, being a radical feminist is really about going to the root of liberating the true womanist female values that sustain all life. It's not political for me. It's a deep spiritual path. And I think a lot of people don't understand that. I mean, just hearing the word feminist, people get all, you know, twitchy and stuff. And then radical feminist, it's like, that must really, you know, be way out there somewhere. And in a way, it is out there, if you want to say that, when you compare it to what the norm is. But it's a very comfortable place for me to be. It's not very well populated.
No, well, it seems to me what you're really saying is you're speaking truth about how things are.
As I see it, yes.
I don't know. Well, I realize you're qualifying it. I don't like to qualify things.
You know, okay.
Because of the truth, right. We're looking at the loss of life on Earth.
Well, we are.
And so that's down to the nitty-gritty, and it's time for all of us to speak the truth, and you do that very...
Thank you.
Yes, yes, of course.
I think, you know, Sojourner Truth spoke the truth when she her famous speech where, you know, I don't have it in front of me, but where she, the famous line, "Ain't I a woman?" You know, that gives life and nurtures life and takes care of life. And, you know, it's, I think in that speech she was talking about what women aren't allowed to do or what they can't do or what they're not capable, you know, a bunch of all that stuff. She said, "Well, ain't I a woman?"
Yeah.
And she put truth in her name. She didn't. She was unabashed, wasn't she?
Isn't that amazing? Yeah. Yes. Yeah, she had some line into.
Yes, she did.
Yeah. She was in touch. Well, you know, just staying on this subject a minute about, I was reading about the magazine Rain and Thunder, mm-hmm. the Radical magazine, which has a quote by Frederick, an 1845 quote by Frederick Douglass, mm-hmm. who escaped slavery and dedicated his life to this struggle for freedom and justice. And he was one of the few, you probably know this, at the Seneca Falls Convention to second Elizabeth Cady Stanton's call for women's suffrage.
Yeah.
And his quote is also very interesting, I think, and applicable. "Those who profess to favor freedom and yet deprecate agitation are those who want crops without plowing the ground.
Mm.
They want rain without thunder and lightning. They want the ocean without the awful roar of its many waters.
Mm-hmm.
Power concedes nothing without a demand. It never did, and it never will."
Well, there you go. So I guess I could say a radical feminist is one who demands truth and an end to suffering,
yes.
an end to violence,
yes.
Against women and all life, because violence against women is violence against all life.
Yes, it is. That's right.
I believe that Frederick Douglass, at the end there, he did vote for black men to get the vote before women.
He did. You have just returned from giving workshops in Belgium and Holland.
Yeah.
Could mm-hmm. you talk about that a bit, if you'd like?
Sure. I was invited over there by different groups of women in Belgium and Holland, but they the organizers were connected. They were friends, the two women that organized, and those two women had been involved in midwifery, and so I met a number of midwives and doulas and women who were interested in midwifing birth and also midwifing death, you know, the whole spectrum, which is the whole circle of feminist shamanic art is bringing in life and ushering it through the portal on its way out. And so they were interested in learning about that, so they invited me over there to give workshops based on my book. And but you know, it's always a lot deeper than that for me. It's not just about my book or midwifing death is the name of my book, but that applies to so much, because right now I'm seeing it as midwifing ourselves through the death of this paradigm that we're in. And we talked a lot about that, and that came up in the workshops for women, and, well, what does that mean, and what do we need to be doing? And for me, over there on the land, some of that land where the actual witch burnings happened was very profound for me to be on that land. I felt very in touch with our I call them ancestors, whose story has not really been told about that piece in history, because mostly what we're taught about that time period is that it was a time of renaissance, when for women and some men, it was a time of absolute horror, and violence and loss of life and oppression and
yes.
all of that.
I'm going to interrupt one moment and say you're listening to KZYX. I'm Janie Reisner here with Leslie Della Madre. We're talking about The War Against Women by Patriarchal Men. Okay, please continue.
So I felt for me, part of what I was doing there, it wasn't my plan. I didn't plan to do this, but feeling the presence of those ancestors so strongly because that story is not unveiled. It's the Inquisition, so many thousands of women lost their lives at the hands of men and the church for their magic and their power, and the jealousy of the church so-called fathers, they weren't fathers. I don't know what they were, but they weren't fathers. Those men, it's in the ground, and some people say, I believe Starhawk has said, that that because those wounds haven't been healed, we saw it reemerge in World War II on the same land where the witch burnings occurred and the concentration camps occurred.
Mm.
And it's the same deep psychic wound that just festered again in World War II. And I could feel, I just felt it so strong when I was there and needed to address that with the women because I felt the ancestors wanted me to, so...
And how did they respond? Were they open to that?
Yes, and some of them said they had been in touch with their own immediate lineages in their families, but not the women in the Inquisition. And you know, these women I was with were from those lineages of those women.
Yeah.
So it was quite amazing, and we talked about creating some kind of monument or monuments to the women who were burned, you know.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause there's different kinds of monuments. We all see them all over, you know, commemorating men of war and, you know. There's nothing for women. What is there for women?
Really? Yeah.
In times of patriarchy, I mean, there's certainly a lot about women and the female form prior to patriarchy, prior to 5,000 years ago, which were also not taught about in school. And I feel that if we were, we would be changing the orientation of our children to becoming peaceful beings, because human beings have lived longer in peace than we have in war, and that's not taught in school.
That's certainly true. Not a smidgen of it's taught. Nothing.
No.
I was looking at, on Sunday, I saw Max Deschaux. Am I saying her last name right?
Deschaux?
Deschaux, May, yes. Mm-hmm. Anyway, it was on early priestesses and you know, sculptures of North America,
mm-hmm.
of the Americas. And
of the Americas.
Yes. And these were amazing, and they were gorgeous.
Yes.
And we never see them.
No.
And nobody
this is
ever
the problem.
Nobody ever talks that, well, in Illinois, we found all this blah, 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 and that these were, you know, spoke to an earlier religion of the mother. There's
yep.
nothing about any of that, any place.
No.
And you're,
psychically, that's the wound.
Yes, it is. And as you speak about the Holocaust, that in reflection, as you were saying it, it suddenly dawned on me, absolutely, why aren't there monuments to
yeah.
all the women that were burned? Why? You know, we have the Holocaust for what happened in the Second World War.
Right.
But
we have the museum for that.
Yes, we do. But there's no museum for women any place.
No. There is a museum for women in San Francisco. I've not been. It's fairly recent. But I mean, there's something, but we're talking about on a large scale. We're talking about making people aware that the Inquisition, the memory of the Inquisition, lives in our DNA. And, you know, it's for Euro-Westerners, it's very strong because they did it in Europe. These men did it in Europe, and then they came over here and did it to the indigenous people.
Yeah.
They did the same thing that they had done in Europe, and they came here and did it. So,
and when we hear these lawmakers making these horrific remarks, it's like they're doing it again. It's like,
well, that's right.
It's like the same energy.
It is the same energy. And right now in Europe, midwives are being imprisoned. So it is happening. This is male terror that's coming to the surface once again, because it's not named, it's not contained, and it's just the same energy, like you're saying. It's right. just right. completely out of control, completely.
Right, right. Well, that sounds really wonderful. I'm sure that was a great blessing for them to have you there and to be able to speak of those things and be reminded of them.
Well, it was mutual. I mean, it was a blessing for all of us.
Yeah.
And, you know, may I read a couple of sentences?
Yes.
Because it's relevant to what we're talking about. This is from the book Kali, The Feminine Force, and it is about who Kali really is. And this is something that I think is phenomenal, because to see this in print, and this is from a teaching that is was around 400 CE, the Common Era, or AD, as people may know it. And so this is a teaching. This is in a teaching called the Chandi. It is about what evil forces tend to be and how they're stewed. According to the Hindu tradition, we are living in the Kali Age, the time of a resurgence of the divine feminine spirit. It is said that Kali sprang forth from the brow of the great goddess Durga during a battle to annihilate demonic male ego. And I think to have it in print like that is phenomenal. This is a teaching where people understood what out-of-control demonic male ego was, and they could identify it. Although Kali is often presented in her warrior aspect as cruel and horrific, with her lolling red tongue and necklace of severed heads, which that's all symbolic, you know. She's not cruel. She's fierce, but she isn't cruel. And that projection feeds men's fear of the feminine. Kali is creator and nurturer, the essence of mother love and feminine energy, or Shakti. As Divine Mother, Lotus Goddess, she brings worlds to birth, sustains them, and absorbs them in a never-ending cycle of her own, opening and closing. And I think what's happened is that the male ego has become absolutely terrified of surrender to the feminine. And so that's what we're seeing.
Uh-huh. I'm speaking with Leslie De La Madre. And Leslie, your website is?
It's Leslie De La Madre, LeslieDeLaMadre, .com.
Yeah, it is so huge. And the idea, I mean, how life has ever gotten so twisted up that men would be afraid of women is so crazy, because in the beginning, we all loved, we knew we were loved by our mother.
Yeah.
We were loved. Yes. We lived in love.
Yes, we did.
Men had nothing to fear. The subject didn't come up.
No.
Because they lived in a loving, we were supported and loved by our mother. And a good mother supports life and supports the life of woman and man alike.
All her children,
of course. So we can see how crazy it's gotten and how it is, we all know this, perpetuated by everything that, because it's a patriarchal world, everything works to perpetuate the patriarchy.
Yes.
Our religions, our schools, what we see on TV, it just on and on, you name it. Every move.
Well, it's you know, there are indigenous teachings, like I've been reading Barbara Mann. You had her, didn't you
do
an interview
with
her?
Yes, I did.
She's fabulous.
Yes, she is. Did you want to read something? Go ahead.
Yes, this is, she contributed to an anthology called Make a Beautiful Way, The Wisdom of Native American Women. She said, traditionally speaking, in the East, where she comes from, our mother, the earth, is emphatically female.
Right.
It's not up for negotiation.
Right.
It's not up for question.
Right, of course.
It's emphatically female. And, you know, so what's to argue about? What's to be afraid of? She says, women are the ones who feel the vibrations of the growing grass through the soles of their feet and the waters of their wombs. They are the ones who know their descendants arrayed by clan through the generations. It is the women who keep the names and pull the ancestors out of the ground back into life, even as they pull the crops up from the weeds. It is the women who can tell the ordinary dirt from the dirt made of their ancestors, the first 5 feet down.
Huh.
They can sense the land, for the land is a woman.
Huh.
It is therefore the daughters of Mother Earth who make the best decisions regarding the children and the land of Mother Earth. She goes on to say that... it's very good. That men were in their tribes were, they don't like the word tribe, clan, were governed by the women. They were because everybody knew that they were the daughters of the earth. Mm. And she says, I look at the fine fix Native America is in and realize that this is exactly why the old clan mothers refused to let the men discuss anything that the women had not first canvassed thoroughly. And what she's referring to is that the European ways have been adopted, and they are not what their indigenous ways were, where men are in control,
right.
European.
Right.
So she says, in fact, the women gave the men the preferred possible outcomes of debate, restricting them to discussions of that preset agenda.
Mm-hmm.
Looking about today, I attribute the nightmarish morass of federal laws and, quote, tribal policies to the fact that they are male constructs of female issues,
right.
Just
right.
What you were saying
right.
Earlier, all those things you were reading that made me sick. This upside-down situation will not be righted until women resume taking care of their mother, which simply will not happen under Euro-American law.
Yep.
That... if we are going to listen to the indigenous people of this land that, you know, our forefathers took over, this is what the women of this land are saying,
mm-hmm.
that the laws that they brought here are not life-supporting.
Well, we can see that at a glance, for sure.
So
yes,
what do we
thank
do?
You. Well, this is the question. I know you do you have other readings? I was going to say, do you have any thoughts on what we're going to do?
Well, it's a deep question because I'm not so into fighting against something. I'm more into building something different, you know, creating something new. But I do feel that in order to do that, we as women have to recognize how we've been wounded by these last 5,000 years of patriarchal rule because we've internalized so much from that, that it's hard for us as women to gather and be together with this woundedness that we carry. And it's so normalized that we don't recognize it.
Yes.
And to me, that is a place to begin, is for women to want to step out of a comfort zone and to do the necessary self-reflection that it takes to see how one has been wounded. How does it show up in me, for instance? You know, where does that woundedness live in me? And that's been something I've been sitting with for a long, long time because I don't want to perpetuate it. And so I think that, to me, that's a place to begin, but it's an arduous task.
Well, you know, you can say those words, but I'm wondering, how does that play out? What would the wounding look like, or how would it? I mean, is it the obvious kinds of things that how I don't trust my own judgment, how I don't listen to myself, how I'm afraid to speak out in public, how I'm afraid of being judged?
Yes,
all those things that for me I had to go through in order to speak and sing and say the things that I have been for the last 25 years.
Yes,
I remember thinking, you know, it was very frightening. It's totally frightening to get out there.
Totally frightening.
You're totally vulnerable. There's nobody to support you. All of that.
Well, and then you look at someone like Lama Gbowee. Is that how we say her name?
Yes. Yeah. She didn't. Boy.
But see, they didn't have anything to lose. They were, I mean, except their lives and their children, which they were already losing.
Right.
You know,
right.
And they're not spoiled like we are. You know, the quote that you read from her, I mean, she's like, girlfriends, why are you not standing up and, you know, being angry? And to me, this is a very interesting point because our Western religions and Eastern religions have told us things like anger is a deadly sin and, you know, one of the seven deadly sins. And I feel that we have been so programmed by that our mother bear ferocity has been, you know, religionized out of us.
Sabotaged.
You know, sabotaged.
We've been propagandized. I'm so glad you've come up with this because this is one of my things. Absolutely. The whole Bible's filled with it. Turn the other cheek.
Yeah.
All of it. All of it.
Become a masochist.
Right. The idea of justice or injustice is not mentioned any place. Frankly, in most spiritual stuff that's going on today, it's like we just all want to be peaceful and calm inside us while the world is being destroyed right in front of us.
Well, yeah, it's schizophrenic because, you know, it's a complicated issue because I don't want to be consumed by anger. I mean, that doesn't help. However, if you look at a mother bear, she is not consumed by anger. She is fiercely protective. And you know, even the most ignorant person knows that you don't go close to a mother bear with her babies. She will probably kill you.
Right.
And that ferocity is accepted. but not for human women.
That's right. Well, that's how we—that's how we're kept in place, though.
That's exactly how we're kept in place. And Lema sees it. She's like, "What are you doing? Why aren't you standing up? Where's your anger?" I mean, she has no compunction about owning her anger in front of the world. Her speeches that she's given the Nobel Peace Prize and at the various speeches where she has been honored, she has addressed her anger. And I just think that, aha, this is something that Western women have been so without.
Yes.
We've been acquiescent and supplicant and submissive, and my friend Sonia calls it terror bonding, where we've bonded with the oppressor and for survival. And we have to stop doing that. That's the other thing I feel, is that women have to, we have to own our anger, not be consumed by it, but own it.
There's quite a difference. I speak out more and more, and I can be outraged, in many situations,
yes.
But I'm scarcely consumed by anger. I'm consumed by love,
yes.
You know?
Yes.
And that's part of love.
It is.
That's what the mother does out of love.
Yes. Yes.
And we need to get, women need to get that.
Oh, yes.
And
yeah,
be strong in that.
It's been taken from us. Yes. We haven't been allowed.
Yeah.
We have not been allowed.
Right.
And I'm not condoning violence. This isn't about condoning violence. This is about owning our fierceness. And, you know, Kali is wrathful. She cuts through the ego sharply, you know, and that's a wrathfully compassionate act, to cut through ego.
Can you say that? What do you mean, cut through ego?
Well, cutting through ego is like she doesn't take any crap.
Uh-huh. Right. Right. Like, don't try to pull that on me.
Right. Don't. It's dangerous if you do.
Yeah. Oh, if she were only here now. Maybe she is.
I think she is. She lives in all
of us.
Mother creatures,
yes,
in the animal
does.
World, you know?
Of course. Of course, of course. I'm thinking that people might want to call in.
Okay.
We'll have to interrupt our conversation. The telephone number, and it would be lovely for people to call in, 707-937-5103. So we'll see.
I do have a poem I can read.
Yes, please do. Before we begin, I wanted to say something about, we have a phone call. Okay.
Oh, good.
Good evening, you're on Women's Voices. Good evening, you're on Women's Voices.
Hi.
Do you have a radio on? Please turn it off.
No, I did. Yeah, early in the conversation, my Ain't I a Woman dander got raised up a little bit. One little aside, I've got three things to say. One little aside, Sojourner Truth, when she gave her Ain't I a Woman preach, she was actually responding to the privileged white upper class quote unquote feminist, and she was saying nobody lays their coat down in a puddle for me, but ain't I a woman anyway. Look at that. I would say look at that preach again, because it's powerful and it's got something for to teach all of us. But when I felt like I had to call is when you were talking about how there's no monuments for these women, and museums, and I just like boom, I was all over the. That's when I jumped up on the phone. It was like, you know what? Do not make a monument or a museum for me, or any women, or any wounded women, because you know what? It is aliveness. It is life that needs our experience and whatever our gifts are, not. We don't need a monument, okay? We need to actually, like you're saying, own the real power and the real gifts and quit getting them wrapped up in wanting to be whatever, tribute. I don't need tribute. I need my woman's life and power to, you know, to heal the family, to heal the children, to heal the earth, to heal our relationships between sisters and between sisters and brothers. I don't know about between brothers, but, and then that, so that brings me to the last thing I was going to say. Jesus never said not to get angry. When he ran those money changers out of the temple,
oh, absolutely.
He
no,
was angry.
He didn't.
In your anger, do not sin.
Yeah.
In
okay.
your anger,
yeah.
do not
oh,
sin.
Okay. Great.
Yeah.
I'm gonna interrupt this.
Yeah.
So thank you so much.
Okay.
We've gotten
thank
your
you.
Points. Thank
Bye.
You very much. No, I've often quoted that too, but about Jesus, he threw the money changers out of the temple. He stood beside Mary Magdalene and said, he was without evil, you know, throw the first
yeah.
stone. That managed to slip through. Oh, we've got another call. Okay. Good evening. You're on Women's Voices.
Hello. I'd like to make a comment that I really wish it would be as simple as just going back to the 5,000 year ago, putting women in control of everything, and everything would be fine. But as I've gotten older and traveled around the world, I've seen some things that made me believe that class and race separations cross genders.
Uh-huh.
I was recently in the mall in Santa Rosa, and there were two Israeli women there selling things in the mall, and hearing them talk about the Palestinians, calling them animals, saying if we could just get their women to quit having babies, we'd be able to keep the state Jewish. And
mm-hmm.
just listening to that, and that reminded me of when I traveled years ago with two women from South Africa for 5 weeks, and the things they said about their maids and the women that worked for them, and that's why this clothes has a stain on it, because those black women are stupid and don't know how to do things. And when I was taking a graduate-level class, African-American women in the class were absolutely incensed that white women, before the Civil War, were more interested in having the vote themselves than eliminating slavery for the black women.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, the first caller, I wanted to thank her for clarifying that, the Sojourner Truth preaching. And then also just to say that it was the women in Europe that brought up the need in them to want to honor their ancestors somehow. Really wasn't about wanting to construct a grand museum or a huge monument or anything like that. It was just came from a very sincere, heartfelt place. So I just wanted to honor the European sisters that I met, that where that came out of. And then I'll just quickly address the
all right,
second caller.
Thank you.
All the things that he talked about, yes, that absolutely is true, and it happens, and they're fine examples of internalized oppression and terror bonding women have been subjected to for 5,000 years. And it's not about going back to 5,000 years. It's just about remembering, is life sustainable?
Good evening. You're on Women's Voices.
Hey, this is Kathleen.
Hi.
Hi.
Well, I wanted to make two quick points. I know this is at the end. One of the questions was, we're wounded, and where does that wound show up? And I'd like to say that it shows up in our relationships. Mm. Men, this is where men get involved because of the hatred. If this is not dealt with, if a woman does not deal with this rage, as you were saying, that rage exists today. Those burnings are in our DNA. Mm. And a woman who said, don't build a monument, I would have to say, if you forget the past, you will have no power. You will have no power to speak.
Mm-hmm.
We are witness to those murders and those burnings.
Mm-hmm.
And we work through that rage so that we can have a relationship. And the effect of not acknowledging that rage, it will resurface in every relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, yep. My husband was my current man. My husband died, and he used to say, don't make me responsible for all the sins of men. You don't make them responsible, each and every man. And we have to deal with this. We have to learn about what happened in the past because it is today.
Ooh, ooh.
Yep.
Thank you. I'll take
Yeah,
thank you
very much. Thanks so much. Hang on just a minute. Whoa. Sometimes I get the sound is really from your phone, Leslie?
It's an internet phone. It's Vonage.
It's
not a regular land. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's okay. I think she's speaking a little bit about women. I mean, we don't, mostly we're the recipient of the rage from men. I mean, it's obvious from everything that's happening and what we're talking about. It's 7. We have another call. It's 3 minutes till. What?
Okay, I just would like to announce that I'm doing a retreat on uncovering the biophilic autonomy of women in Ashland, Oregon, on the weekend of June 15th. And you can email me if you want information about that, and where we will be going into a lot of these issues.
How long a retreat is this?
It's a weekend.
So like Friday mm-hmm. to Sunday? Do you want to give your phone number?
Yes, I'll give you. My phone number is 707-824-1750.
Okay, and your email again is?
You can email me at Delamandre, DELLAMADRE, at hotmail.com.
Okay. Oh, this has just been wonderful. I'm going to
take the call.
Really quickly. Okay. 2 seconds.
All right.
Hi, you're on Women's Voices. It has to be really short.
Excellent, profound psychological analysis. Please give your name again. Appreciate more repetition of your name and contact.
It's Leslene Delamandre. My website is leslenedelamandre.com. And my email is Delamandre, DELLAMADRE, at hotmail.com. Thank you for your words.
Yeah, thank you, Leslene.
You are welcome.
We'll do this again without question.
Good. Okay.
Good night. Good night.
The sacred war begins.